the other day, Kiara Ji was explaining that if one fails to refrain from vitekama kilesa, transgressive defilements, the transgression that can arise by indulging in these defilements, extreme defilements such as lobha, dosa, moha. So in order to remove these transgressive defilements, if one is failing to remove, if one is negligent to remove, then there will be pamada. And Sharaji also explained that when one has strong chetana, strong volition to share one's belongings with others, one can develop dana. If one does not have chetana, volition, and if one is attached to one's belongings, and if one does not want the welfare of others, then one will not be developing dana. If one has jealousy, not wanting others to use one's belongings, then one is failing to perform dana, and there will be pamada, negligence, failure, heedlessness to develop dana. If one fails to form or shape one's mind, if there is lack of mindfulness, then when one comes across desirable objects, there can be greed, lust. And when one comes across undesirable objects, there can be hatred. Not knowing the true nature, there will be delusion. So delusion can arise together with greed. It can also arise together with anger, hatred, aversion. And delusion can arise itself also. If one does not have good intention, if one cannot control oneself, one wants to take other people's belongings by force, there will be abhijja, covetousness. So when one comes across desirable objects, there can be ordinary form of greed, or there can be abhijja, covetousness, where one wants to take other people's belongings by force. When one comes across undesirable objects, there can be anger, hatred, aversion. One wants to destroy others, there will be vyabada, ill will. Not knowing that good deeds bring good results, bad deeds bring bad results, there will be wrong view. And such things are manodhucharita, mental misconduct. So these three, abhijja, vyabada, and mitta ditti, covetousness, ill will, wrong view, these are the misconduct that can arise in the mind. So these misconduct cannot be removed by practicing dana or sila. Practicing dana and sila, one's physical, verbal behavior will be pure, but one cannot remove mental misconduct just by practicing dana or sila. With the physical and verbal conduct, one can refrain oneself, one can make a vow that one will not commit misconduct by body and speech, but with mental misconduct, one cannot observe sila, or one can, it is not enough to observe sila in order to overcome mental misconduct. One cannot simply avoid from mental misconduct. Buddha explained about the nature of the mind, saying donegaha, meaning that the mind is very difficult to be suppressed and controlled. And lahu, the mind is very quick to arise and pass away. There may be wholesome mind arising at this moment and unwholesome mind arising at another moment. So Buddha used these two words, donegaha, meaning the mind is very difficult to be suppressed, to be controlled, and lahu, the mind is very quick to arise and pass away. Jathagama nipati, meaning that the mind goes astray without any control. So the mind may be going every nook and corner. The mind may go on to wrong things. Even the yogis who are practicing, they are practicing in the meditation hall, but their mind is going everywhere. And when the mind wanders, their mind goes to various objects, and at times the mind even goes to bad things. Without regard to reputation as a yogi, the mind goes everywhere, also to bad things, to every nook and corner. So regardless of one's reputation, the mind goes anywhere it wants to. So that's why Buddha condemned the nature of the mind by explaining in these three ways. If there is lack of practice of Satipatthana meditation, if one is lacking Satipatthana practice, the mind is rude, it is impure, it is not gentle, but it is burning and suffering. And it is quite disgusting to have impure mind. If one fails to practice Satipatthana meditation, it is also pamada, negligence, failure, heedlessness. If one does not fill up what is lacking, it is pamada. Dana and sila has to be practiced. If one fails to practice dana and sila, it is also pamada. By practicing dana and sila, one can remove defilements to a certain extent only, but it is not a satisfactory result in removing the defilements by practicing dana and sila. In order to remove the defilements in a satisfactory way, it is necessary to practice Satipatthana meditation. In order to practice Satipatthana meditation, in order to uplift one's mind, one needs to be endowed with sadha, faith and confidence. One should be sadha sampanna, one should be endowed with faith and confidence. One should have faith and confidence in the Buddha, and also one should have faith and confidence in Kamma, deeds and the results of karma. One should have faith and confidence that good deeds bring good results, bad deeds bring bad results. And Buddha's knowledge was so great that Buddha could guide the beings on what is beneficial, and Buddha could prohibit things that are harmful. So in this way, one has faith and confidence on the knowledge of the Buddha. Having faith and confidence in the knowledge of the Buddha, one truly understands that good deeds bring good results, bad deeds bring bad results. One also believes in karma and its effects. Believing in the Buddha's knowledge, one understands that guidance and the discipline given by the Buddha is based on sabbanyuta jnana, omniscient knowledge. Having faith and confidence in Buddha's knowledge, omniscient knowledge, and great compassion, one will never give up the practice. One sadha, faith and confidence, is awakened. In order to awaken one sadha, faith and confidence, one should be endowed with sutta. One should have the theoretical knowledge. In order to gain theoretical knowledge, one should listen to the Dhamma talk, and one should learn the method given by the Buddha in order to develop the mind. So if one does not know the correct method, one should learn. Without knowing the correct method, one cannot practice. So not knowing should be removed by listening, learning the correct way to practice Satipatthana meditation. In the beginning of Satipatthana Sutta, Buddha courageously declared the benefits of Satipatthana practice, that Satipatthana practice is one and only sure way to gain seven benefits. So Buddha declared courageously on the benefits of Satipatthana practice: purification of the mind, overcoming of sorrow and grief. Satipatthana practice is one and sure way, one and only sure way in order to purify the mind, in order to overcome grief, sorrow, in order to dispel physical suffering, in order to dispel mental suffering, in order to gain path knowledge which can eradicate defilements that has been following throughout the samsara, and it is one and only sure way to develop palanyana, fruition knowledge, and one can attain Nibbana, the cessation of all suffering. So Buddha mentioned these benefits. Buddha courageously declared the benefits of Satipatthana practice. In order to gain these benefits of practice, one should be mindful on every bodily action. Contemplating on Kaya Nupassana, one should be mindful on every bodily action. One should be mindful on every thoughts, imaginations, and consciousness. Citta Nupassana, And also, one should be mindful on every feeling, every sensation. And also, one should be mindful on other things such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, which is Dhamma Nupassana. So in this way, one should be mindful of one's bodily actions, sensations and feelings, thoughts and imaginations, and seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and so on. So in brief, whatever object that arises, such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, rising, falling, thinking, imagining, good and bad feelings, whatever they arise, one should be mindful at the present moment of their arising with sustained mindfulness. Buddha had showed the sure benefits that one can get by practicing Satipatthana meditation. So one should understand that by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can gain these benefits such as purification of the mind and so on. Understanding the benefits of Satipatthana practice, one's sadha, faith and confidence will be awakened. When one's faith and confidence is awakened, one will have a strong will to gain these benefits. Having a strong will to gain these benefits of Satipatthana practice, yogis come to a meditation center, giving up the worldly happiness. The sadha, faith and confidence that has been awakened, it should be cultivated by Satipatthana practice. And by practicing according to the correct method, one discerns knowledge, knowing distinctly between mind and matter, and one also understands the Four Noble Truth, Dukkha Satya, the truth of suffering, Smudya Satya, the truth of origin of suffering, Nirodha Satya, the truth of cessation, and Magga Satya, the truth of path leading to cessation. So in this way, one also understands the Four Noble Truths by practicing Satipatthana meditation. And by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one develops knowledge, discerning profound Dhamma. So in order to understand the profound Dhamma, such as the Four Noble Truths, cause and effect, one should practice Satipatthana meditation. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can gain knowledge, and the practice will be a cause to get the quality of a Kalyana Mitta, a true companion by himself. One should practice bhavana. One should practice a good quality bhavana, mental development practice. If one does not practice bhavana, if one is failing to practice bhavana, then there will be pamada. And when practicing, if one does not practice respectfully, it will also be pamada, negligence, failure. Satipatthana practice is among the best in these wholesomeness. So apart from magga, apart from path knowledge, Satipatthana is the best kind of wholesome deed. It is the best quality, kind of wholesomeness, apart from magga, path knowledge. So in Satipatthana Sutta, the benefits of Satipatthana practice, such as purification of the mind and so on, are mentioned in Satipatthana practice. It is one and only sure way to gain such benefit if one has faith and confidence in Buddha's knowledge, if one has faith and confidence in karma and its effect, knowing that Buddha guided beings in order to bring benefits, Buddha prohibited harmful things so that beings will not meet harm, Buddha guided and prohibited from omniscient knowledge and Mahakaruna, great compassion. So if one has faith and confidence, one will practice Satipatthana meditation respectfully. When practicing Satipatthana meditation, there is a definite law saying Buddha, Buddhato, Passati, meaning that one should observe the objects in the way they really are. In order to note the presently arising object in the way they are, in the way they are existing, one should note these objects with aim and effort. Rising, falling is just a name. In the rising, there manifests Vayo Dhatu, the wind element, whose nature is stiffness, tension, movement. And falling of the abdomen, there is the Vayo Dhatu, also experienced as movement, relaxation. So rising and falling of the abdomen, there is Vayo Dhatu, wind element, that is prominent. Vayo Dhatu, wind element, is materiality. It is among Dukkha Satya, the truth of suffering. It is said that Dukkham Parinyeya, meaning that one should discern distinctly Dukkha Satya, the truth of suffering. Yogis who practice respectfully, meticulously, thoroughly, noting rising and falling of the abdomen, yogis experiences the true nature, such as stiffness, tension, movement, relaxation, and so on. In order that the noting mind should be face to face or direct with the object, yogi needs to aim the noting mind towards the object, and yogi should put effort so that the noting mind falls on the object. By noting with aim and effort, one's mind will reach the object of meditation. One's mind will be direct or face to face with the object. So it is very important to apply these two factors, aim and effort, when one is noting the object. So when one notes the object with aim and effort, the noting mind sticks onto the object. The noting mind is direct or face to face with the object. The noting mind falls calm and collected on the object. And at that moment, the mind is wholesome. And each of the mental factors have their own quality. When vitaka, when aiming, directing the noting mind, when this aiming, directing is present, then the mind does not slip away from the object. The mind doesn't slip away, and there will not be wrongful thoughts, such as kama vitaka, thoughts about wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sounds, such kind of sensual thought cannot arise when one is being able to aim the noting mind towards the object. And also, one will not have ill will, wanting to kill or wanting to torment others. In this way, the mind is away from wrongful thoughts when one has vitaka, right application of the noting mind onto the object. And in order to note the object, one exerts effort in the practice. Being able to exert effort in the practice, the mind will not be cold or sluggish. When effort is present, tina, which withdraws from the practice, and medha, not wanting to exert effort, such tina medha has no chance to arise. The defilements that can arise due to lack of viriya effort will not have any chance to arise when viriya is present. Having effort present, these defilements has no chance to arise. If there is lack of effort, kilesa defilements can enter the mind just like a stream of current. Having viriya present, effort blocks the current of defilements, and one notes the object continuously with aim and effort so that the noting mind sticks onto the object, the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object. So if one can note continuously for 10 moments, for these 10 moments there will be mindfulness. If one can note for 1 minute continuously, there will be 60 moments of mindfulness. Having mindfulness present, there will be rekha varana goti, meaning that the mind is guarded, protected away from these defilements by mindfulness. Mindfulness guards, protects the mind away from the defilements. Mindfulness blocks so that kilesa defilements cannot enter. When there is protection of mindfulness, when mindfulness is protecting the mind, the mind will be safe and secure away from the defilements, and thus there will be freedom from these defilements. When the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object, samadhi, concentration, develops. There will be collectedness of the mind. The mind will not be agitated by greed or hatred or aversion, but the mind will be calm and collected. There will be no agitation of these defilements, and thus there will be sandhi, peace. When the noting mind is direct or face to face with the object, rising of the abdomen, one comes to know the nature such as stiffness, tension, movement. At the moment one is being mindful, the jhanic factors such as vitaka is present, viriya effort is present, and there will also be sati, mindfulness, and samadhi, concentration. When these factors, vitaka, viriya, sati, and samadhi are present, the mind will be wholesome. At the moment, viriya, sati, samadhi, at the moment effort, mindfulness, and concentration are present, then the mind is away from nivarana hindrances. Nivarana hindrances hinder so that wholesomeness cannot develop. When virya, sati, samadhi, when effort, mindfulness, and concentration are present, nivarana, hindrances, has no chance to arise. Cetaso upakilesa, the defilements that keeps the mind polluted, will have no chance to arise. And when one develops knowledge, when one sati and samadhi, when mindfulness and concentration become strengthened, one also develops knowledge. By developing knowledge, one's faith and confidence will become from serene faith to trusting faith. So when one develops knowledge, one develops trusting faith, which is called Okappana Sadda. So in this way, one should cultivate awakened Sadda with practice. By practicing, one develops knowledge and one will develop Okappana Sadda, trusting faith. One's mind will be pure and clean, away from the nivarana, hindrances. Hindrances are called panyaya dobali karana, meaning that these hindrances weaken knowledge. But when one is being mindful, when one develops knowledge, one can also remove nivarana, hindrances that can weaken the defilements. By being mindful, when one develops knowledge for 1 minute, for that minute, one is developing wholesome mind that is high and noble. And bhavana citta, developed mind, is arising for that minute. And it is called bhavana. The wholesome mind is developed, cultivated, and increased. When one develops wholesome mind, that has these factors, virya, sati, samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration. The mind is pure and clean. Nivarana, hindrances, cannot pollute the mind, cannot weaken knowledge, as the mind is free from these nivarana, hindrances, and the mind is pure and clean. When the noting mind is direct or face-to-face with the object, kilesa defilements has no chance to arise, and the mind is pure and clean. So one can compare, when one compares dana with bhavana, mental development practice, one understands that mental development practice surpasses then dana. By performing dana, one can remove defilements just superficially. Practicing sila, one can refrain oneself so that one's physical, verbal behavior will be clean. But in order to remove the latent dormant defilements, in order to remove refined defilements, dana and sila is not enough. Dana and sila alone cannot remove refined form of defilements. So in order to remove refined form of defilements, latent dormant defilements, one should practice satipatthana meditation. By practicing satipatthana meditation, one develops knowledge and one can remove refined form of defilements, latent and dormant form of defilements. So one should practice bhavana, mental development practice, in order to remove refined form of defilements. Bhavana, mental development practice, surpasses dana and sila. That's why it is called adikusala, the kind of wholesomeness that is outstanding, the kind of wholesomeness that surpasses dana and sila. So it is said that adikusala bhaveti upadeti vateti bhavana. Bhavana means developing, initiating, cultivating, increasing, outstanding kind of wholesomeness. And one should practice bhavana continuously. One should practice with aim and effort to note the presently arising object. When the mind is distracted, when the mind is scattered, then there is pamada, failure, negligence. So if one fails to be mindful, there will be a gap, there will be a space, there will be a void, and within the void, unwholesomeness can arise. So one should be noting without any gaps in between. One should be noting continuously. So there is a definite law in Vipassana, that is, one should be mindful of the objects in the way they really are. One should observe these objects with aim and effort in a timely manner. One should know these objects at the moment they arise, and the mind will be pure and clean. And Saraji will continue to explain tomorrow. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.